Good morning. Merry Christmas. The first reading today is not what's printed in the bulletin. Rather, it's from Micah, verse 5, 1 through 5. The two readings today, as you'll hear, are very different. One is one of the most familiar ones, and this first one is, at least to me, very unfamiliar. So please listen for the word of the Lord. Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore God shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of the kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of God, in the majesty of the name of God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers. And now the gospel lesson, Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The word of God.
Let us pray. May the words from my mouth and the meditations in my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and redeemer. Amen. The story of the birth of the Christ child is a beautiful, beautiful, not quite an epic, but journey, tale. And this past few weeks, 4 weeks to be exact, we've been following Mary and her gestation with Christ. And like pregnancy is a state of occupancy, and vacancy is ideal to bring about birth. What I mean by that is Christ is born at a particular time and place that seems very unlikely for a Messiah to come into the world. As a Palestinian Jew, Christ is born into occupied place from the Roman government. Christ is born to a not quite a single mother, but Joseph is not his father. And so this brings about some problematic issues when it comes to cultural relations and the Jewish community. But Joseph is a great man and takes Mary anyway. When the family tries to find room, every single place is occupied. It's full. Christ is coming into this world in a world that seems too busy, too chaotic to hold him. And so I wonder, every single year as we look at the birth and retell the story of the Christ child and of the Messiah, how full is the world at this moment in time? And so we've been working dutifully to make room. And vacancy is what the family was looking for, Mary and Joseph. They were looking for a place that is clean, a place that is controlled, an environment that is sterile and predictably safe in order to birth their son, who they know very well as the Messiah. And the Christ child is a reminder that life moves in chaos. Life moves in occupancy. And that to even have life, there must be a vacantness, a womb, so to speak, that can be occupied. And so Christ's birth fluctuates between these states of vacancy and occupancy, this dance of life. And it's a narrative to which we can all relate, the drama of death and birth and hope. Hope is birthed in layers of occupancy. Christ is occupied again by his religious and ethnic identity, occupied by Mary, and Mary occupied by him, that perichoretical gestation where any pregnant woman has been aware of, and women who haven't been pregnant like myself can kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, you know? What does it mean to have, like, you're not quite a parasite, but we're connected. I don't know what this is. You're moving. It's weird. But we're together. We're one, you know? It's very triune. Because God is clearly involved. And, you know, Mary occupied by him, occupied in the hotel. There's no room, so you have to go to a stable, which is occupied by animals laid in a manger. And we know, because we come from good Jewish roots, that that is not the cleanest place, and cleanliness is important as it is next to... Y'all are with me this morning. And this transformative hope, born by this wee little nugget in a manger, is a literal promise to be fulfilled, all the way dating back to Abraham. And this fulfillment comes in a state of no room to be comfortable. It comes in a state of occupancy. What a hopeful story for us this morning at this time in our lives. Having faith is a kind of transformative hope. And in order to have faith, one must literally imagine that which is not yet to be a physical reality. In other words, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of whatever ails or nags your spirit, whether it's something going on in your family life, whether it is mental, physical, or spiritual health, whether it's just the difference between putting food on the table or being more dependent on others, needing the assistance of others. Sometimes when you're worn or you're worn out, sometimes when you feel like you're a burden or you feel burnt out for giving too much, you tune into, you focus your intentions, ideally as Christians, onto your faith. Because faith is imagining a different reality and knowing that different reality, hoping for that different reality to become true. And Christ entering the world is that holding on to that faithful promise of God, that a change will come. And we already know how the story ends. It does come. It has come. In order to have faith, this transformative hope, this vehicle of moving through our spiritual beliefs, one must literally imagine what is not yet here. And such is the promise of Messiah, who brings hope in transformative ways. And so I ask, on this eve of Christmas Eves, who will be your Messiah come Christmas Day? What is the hope that you hold on to? What is the vehicle of faith? What is your messianic promise this year that you are hoping for God to fulfill? Where have you been trying to make room in your spirit for a change to come, to make your life better, to make your life comfortable, in parts or in places or in states where there is discomfort? Because in order for the comfort to come in a state of occupancy, it must simply come, right? Rarely does the Messiah come at a calm time. I would argue if the Messiah comes at a calm time, it's not quite the Messiah. The Messiah must come at a time of need. And if we look as Christians, we believe that Christ is the Messiah. Amen. Right? but also there's a long history in our Jewish roots of Jewish messiahs coming in at times of need to fulfill some narratives. And so, I ask again, when we think of the Christ child in 2 days, who or what does Christ look like for you in your life right now? What aspects, what salvific aspects of the Messiah have you been hoping for and waiting for and wish to cultivate? Where has your faith led you thus far? What or whom you worship, who or what you value, and who you follow will shape and understand your positions of joy and comfort in life. We follow the Christ child because we believe strongly and know to be true through our experiences the joy that Christ brings, the love that we have in our lives that brings us peace and comfort, and all of these things we know come from God, come unconditionally. It doesn't matter the state that we're in, it doesn't matter what we're going through, but the Messiah will come at a time of chaos to bring joy into the world. And I believe this is the practicality of this heaven and breaking in on earth. The scene or the sense of collective peace is not simply just because we believe, but also because God has promised this to us. And because we're doing this work, this deep work of faith, of imagining that which is not yet, but we know soon to come. And this is not to say that if something didn't come to fruition that you had faith in or hoped for, that your faith was not strong enough. And this is not to say that when Christ broke into the world that it was painless, for we follow Christ's life in our liturgical calendar and know that it was filled with a lot of trial and tribulation. Christ came no matter the conditions around him, despite the conditions around him, despite the people around him. And we come, we are here, despite all odds, despite what we have been through, to do great things and to live into this salvific hope, this change in the world. And faith is this imagining too unconditionally, no matter the conditions. Imagine Mary's faith as a pregnant woman trying to find where to birth her son, and imagine the nervousness of carrying, you know, God's baby. I just want to like put that out there right quick. And there's no room in the inn. You know, it's like, God, what are you doing to me? I can't even imagine. And for you moms out there, I honestly can't imagine. Like, what would it be like for you to not have a hospital room, or if you gave birth in a tub, or what would it be like to just, your water broke and you need some place and you have no place to go? Because that's Mary's predicament. And poor Joseph, God bless him, you know? So the chaos. Hope in our tradition is birthed in chaos. And so when everything around you is going kind of wrong, the anchor of God is always right. And right on time. God's time. As you all know, babies come on their own time. But right on time. And so faith is practical. It's a way of navigating through life, being reassured, it's not quite fully all belief, but it's also, your faith is reinvested, it's reinvigorated, it's strengthened by your experience. And so we're gonna do a little show of hands this morning. How many of you all have experienced a positive comfort, feeling, or outcome from your faith? Raise your hand. All right. So, you all, and those who raise their hands, are witnesses to the power of faith. So you all, those who raise their hands, whether you're aware of it or not, you know how faith works, right? You've seen it manifest in your lives. Y'all with me this morning? Okay. So faith is the vehicle from which you operate through your salvation. Faith is the reminder of what can make you feel happy, feel good. And Christ, with the intimacy of Mary, God, the Holy Spirit, is a reminder of that, this Christ child, this inbreaking of hope and this faith that has been held on through generation after generation after generation after generation of a promise. Even later in Christ's life, as a grown man, and he runs into Mary Magdalene, and for the first time reading this text, the connection between Christ's mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, who, you know, if we look at the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, Christ's connection between a mother and somebody, a woman on the street, a prostitute, to be even more accurate, I think is a beautiful story of what Christ came to do. And I don't think it's a coincidence that both women are named Mary. If we look at the story of the stories of the people that Christ has touched in Christ's lives, most of them were in states of chaos, were they not? If we look at, I was reminded a few days ago of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was just doing his job and getting hated for it, right? For those of you who work for the government right now, God bless you. Zacchaeus, that's a part of your story, right? If we look at Lazarus and even death, right? Christ was there. The child who will grow to be the man of God, God in flesh, is the one who has come to bring comfort into the world, the one who has come to fulfill our hopes, the one who has come to make room for us as we have made room for him, to transform and change that which needs to be corrected. And the Messiah is needed because It's the narrative that's the key to the salvation. And even for those who do not believe in the literal virgin birth, might I argue that even if you don't believe in the literal virgin birth of Christ, is the story less powerful for you? I hope it isn't, because that story is still a story of faith. And if your faith is dependent on that one little minute thing, you know, then I think it's a little too weak. So I wonder, how do we strengthen and hold on to our faith? How are we reminded from the birth of the Christ child of the hope that is to be in this world and what that hope looks like for us now? May we make room for Christ in our lives, and may we be reminded that just as they talk about the star in the sky, right, that the Magi followed, that very same star is appearing in our sky, I believe either tonight or Monday night. It happens once every 20 years. And so if you think about your faith and the lack of it, or the loss of it, and hope for a Messiah in the world, or if you wonder, is the story of the Christ child really true? I haven't felt Christ in my life in a while. I want you to look up in the night sky. If it's not cloudy, we want clouds, we need rain. But if it's not cloudy, tonight and tomorrow night, I want you to go online, Google the Christmas star, and find it. And know that throughout the generations, this is the same star that the Magi followed to witness and see the Christ child. That's the same star, right? I think sometimes, you know, you get 2,000 plus years removed from something, it really does feel like a story and a tale at times, instead of a truth that Christ lived and walked on this earth and breathed. And may we live into that truth and that hope and that reminder this year as we have made room for a whole month for this birth, that we join Mary in this joy that is coming and inbreaking into the world. In whatever way, shape it might take form, and it will take form in the shape of you all, of myself, of everybody who participates in this inbreaking of the kingdom. Isaiah puts it this way in his prediction for the messianic promise. Sing to the Lord a new song. I would argue that is your faith. No matter the condition or chaos, it is a song of hope. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its towns lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord goes forth like a soldier, like a warrior. He stirs up his fury. He cries out and shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills. I will dry up all their herbage. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by a road they do not know, by paths they have not known. I will guide them. Isn't that sometimes a journey of life? Most times, a path you don't know. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. They shall be turned back and utterly put to shame. Those who trust in carved images will say to cast images, "You are our gods." Listen, you that are deaf, and you that are blind, look up and see. Maybe look up and see the Christ child in our lives this year. May we look up and see the hope that is birthed that we have made room for and that we deserve by simply breathing. The fact that you exist, you deserve goodness, peace, joy in life. So hold on to that faith, because that faith is the vehicle that will guide you in the middle of chaos. Amen.